Hello and welcome to the Rooted in the Really Real podcast. Get ready to go on a journey of knowledge, growth, healing, and prayer rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now let's dive in. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, we're recording this on Holy Saturday, so it doesn't feel too wrong to say Happy Easter, but we're not technically quite there yet. But when people are listening to this, it will be Easter.
That's right. That's right.
We are immersed in the Holy Saturday emptiness right now.
The emptiness.
But soon, the vigil tonight, we will experience true joy.
Amen.
And flowers.
Many flowers.
And bells. Beauty.
Galore. And music. And chant. And hymnody. Oh.
Can't wait.
So good. And the Alleluia.
Well, we want to talk about Easter today because we have had kind of this interspersed series on liturgical seasons in between our other episodes when that season comes up, and we are now at Easter. So we want to have an episode on living the Easter joy, living Easter life. Jesus is risen, and we say Alleluia, but like, how does it affect our life? Does it do anything? We think like Lent should have shaped us in a certain way. It should have had some kind of impact on us. So then how does that kind of roll into Easter, you know? How does that affect us? So we want to look at some of those things.
And so I think the first place I want to begin, right, is just this reality of there is a joy, right, that we're invited to live into, right? It's a joy that is offered to us that comes about through baptism. And it is the promise of God to be ever present to us, not only in the Eucharist, but also in the gift of baptism within each one of us, right? So when you were baptized and I was baptized, and the Lord claims us as his own beloved son, his own beloved daughter, and he makes that home within us. And so there is this reality that we are invited to recognize the ongoing, enduring presence of God, not only in the church, but also within ourselves, that God has so drawn so close to us that we get to live in this his presence, that we get to live in the joy of experiencing him each and every moment of every day. And he comes like with this wonder and awe. It's almost like not shock and awe, but like he comes in and it's like there he is. Like he has risen and he appears to the apostles and he appears to us and he looks at us and he says, I'm not leaving you. I chose you and I'm with you. And just how he comes to meet us, like wherever we are right now. And he says, look, like what I have done for these in the past, like I want to do for you. I want to now let you celebrate in the joy that I have, the love that I have, the peace that I have. And I want you to experience that. And this season of Easter is really about like saying yes to this enduring presence, this perduring presence of God in our lives, in our homes, in our families, and allowing him to fill the space that was created with Easter, or that was created in Lent, so that we can really experience life differently going forward.
I think sometimes during Lent, and this is, I guess, at least true in my case, but probably for others, that there can be like that temptation to prove yourself, or like, I have to do X, Y, or Z because this is what I committed to. And there can be a lot of like self-reliance and all these other temptations that come in with Lent. Because like this is how we have to enter into the season, you know, and like we have all these expectations of ourselves and others that sometimes it can be difficult to just receive what the Lord wants to give us, I think. And one of the things that I love so much about Easter, while I may struggle sometimes with self-reliance or feeling like I have to prove myself or control or whatever it is, Easter to me is much more of like an open invitation to just be and receive what the Lord has for me. Like, oh, I don't know. Like, there's just something so beautiful about it. And like, there's like a freedom, like when Easter comes. And like, I obviously want to experience that freedom in Lent. But sometimes it's like Lent can be so heavy. And then Easter comes and it's like, oh, like I want Lent to carry in such a way that like this is where my heart has been like changed and formed, if that makes sense. But like Easter, it's like I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to keep like showing the Lord that I'm doing enough. And like this is all the stuff I did during Lent. So now I deserve to receive like joy. He just wants to give us the fullness of himself. And Easter can just be that opportunity to be like, here I am, and just kind of re-enter into or just revisit the truth of our identity, re-enter into like being daughters and sons and just receiving from the Lord. because he's such a good father. I think he just wants to give us more and more. And sometimes we're just so busy, or we think like the Lord wants something of us, or we're supposed to do things a certain way. And it's just like we lose it. But there's just so much he wants to give us and pour out.
Well, I think this is what's so beautiful, right, is that we celebrate Easter not for one day, but for 8 days, right? We celebrate the solemnity of Easter Sunday, you know, from Easter Sunday all the way through the following Sunday. And really, they're meant to be 8 days of celebration, 8 days of festivities. And so because of how amazing this is, right, that God in his son Jesus, right, God the Father has sent his son Jesus and has been victorious over sin and death, has opened to us the kingdom of heaven, has now created the pathway for us for all of eternity to be with him. And this can't be celebrated in one day. One day cannot contain the celebration that God has planned for us, that because all of eternity is the celebration of God's victory. It's the celebration of the Father's love. And so we have 8 days in which we're being invited to celebrate. And I don't know how your family wants to celebrate that. But I want to encourage you to think of a plan of like, what would that look like to do something unique or something special for 8 days in a row to celebrate this gift of God's victory over sin and death? And then the rest of the season of Easter is living out this celebration, right? This spirit of joy. Because it is this joy that is what allows the apostles to go out to the world, really, and to proclaim it. Like they see with their own eyes, they experience for their very selves that Christ has conquered this, and that nothing can hold him. And they know that he is truly the Messiah. He is truly the one that was sent because of this victory over sin and death. And so you and I are invited not only to have this major celebration, but then to live in the joy of what it means to recognize that our Lord is victorious, that there is no other who is like him.
And it may seem obvious, but I think it's important to remember that we need to celebrate with Jesus too, right? We're not just going to Mass like on Easter Sunday and then having 8 days of cheesecake and ice cream and just indulging in the name of Easter, but not really like being, you know, expressing that gratitude and incorporating that into our prayer and celebrating in a way that also glorifies the Lord. You know, like there's a balance there.
Well, I remember as a kid, like we would, as soon as we finished Holy Saturday, we would then gorge ourselves, literally gorge ourselves. I would eat so much candy that I would feel sick the next day. And I just thought to myself, this is weird. I don't know why I
good
did that.
One.
But it's like, but you're right. Cause like sometimes we can do that with too much of the sweets and you know, I love cheesecake, right? So there's that danger.
We know. Well, right. So I think that also brings about the point that, you know, in order to look at Easter, I think we do need to look back a little bit at Lent and whatever, you know, if we gave up something concrete for Lent, it's not just, okay, now that Easter's here, we can go back to where we were the day before Ash Wednesday. Right. You know, like let's say I gave up chocolate for Lent. It doesn't mean on Easter I just get to eat all the chocolate and I haven't been changed. You know, like, do you want to speak at all about what Lent should prepare us for to celebrate Easter better?
So Lent, hopefully your Lent was one in which you were able to begin to detach from some of the things that you might have been attached to, whether that was scrolling on your phone, reading too much news, you know, watching too many sports or whatever it was, or, you know, maybe drinking something that you maybe just drank too much of. And so hopefully Lent was able to a season in which you were able to detach from some of these things that you might have been attached to. And then also a season in which you were able to create space in your heart to pray and to have relationship with the Lord. And when Easter comes, what we're being invited to is to bring some of these things back into our lives, but not in the way that they were before, but like that we have changed. And so instead of, you know, using my phone 24/7, I actually set it aside and I only check it a couple of times a day. Or instead of, you know, maybe instead of going out for fast food every night, right, I actually shop a couple of times and I cook a few meals so that I have just food at home that's been cooked at home. But whatever it might be is that when I begin the season of Easter, I don't put all those apps back on my phone. Rather, I keep the space there so I can continue to turn to him. Or maybe during Lent, right, we took on the spiritual practice of praying a daily rosary. Well, you know, hopefully we don't say, okay, well, now that Easter's here, I don't need to pray the rosary. But rather, it's like, now we need to pray the rosary in thanksgiving and in joy. And because the Lord has helped us to create this space to develop a relationship with Our Lady. Or maybe you started reading the Gospels each day, even though you couldn't go to Mass, but you read the Gospels each day and you took time to pray each day with the Gospels, doing a little Lectio Divina. Like, what a beautiful gift that we want to continue now into Easter, because hopefully the Word of God has changed us during this season of Lent so that we can embrace in a new way, in a powerful way, just the wonder and the awe and the goodness, right, of our Lord's victory over sin and death. And so what we set aside during Lent, or the spiritual practices we took on, we want to continue those spiritual practices into Easter for the rest of our lives, God willing, and then we want to bring back some of those things we gave up in a more managed or in a more disciplined way, so that the space remains for the Lord, and that the space remains for us to respond generously to the promptings of God's love for us. Right, because we see it's in this resurrection, in the resurrection, in the love that the apostles experience, that they're able to go out and proclaim His victory over sin and death. And I think that that's the most beautiful part about Easter, is that hopefully we've changed so that we can now proclaim how we are different. You know, it's like before I met the Lord, or before I experienced the Lord, I was one way, but now I'm this way because God has met me in my story, in my life, and has brought me to where I am today.
Right. And so I don't think we're saying either, like, it's bad to start eating chocolate or something. You know, if you gave it up during Lent, we're not saying keep giving up chocolate, you know, for the sake of being holy. I don't think we need to carry our Lenten penances necessarily through Easter. But just like we ideally were very intentional with our Lenten penances, or what we chose to give up or take on, like we talked about in our Lent episode, just how it can really transform our hearts and our relationship with the Lord, and just transform our Lent if we are intentional with what is God asking me to do. That whole disposition and how we relate to the Lord, I think we want to carry that and its intentionality also. So as we go into Easter, it's not I need to punish myself and I need to give up anything that's good and I can't overindulge like all these other people are doing or something. What we're saying is that intentionality of going to the Lord and asking Him, what are you inviting me into, is still present in the relationship. And yeah, if you've been praying a rosary every day of Lent and you were perfect with it and never missed a day, and then Easter comes and maybe you miss a day, we're not saying that's awful or you can't ever miss a day, you know, but it's what's the intentionality behind it? Where's the Lord asking you to be? I think if anything, a good Lent going into Easter creates that space in the heart, you know, that makes room for your relationship with the Lord and that intimacy to grow.
Yeah. And that's what He wants in Easter. He wants to help you continue growing in that intimacy, because that's the intimacy that leads to joy. It's the intimacy that leads to peace. It's the intimacy that leads to hope, to gentleness, and His kindness, right? So we don't want to shy away from that, but really to live into that, because it is this encounter with the victory of Christ over sin and death that changes everything. It gives purpose and meaning to suffering. It gives purpose and meaning to the difficulties of life. It gives purpose and meaning to those places when we unite with Him where we find ourselves. And it also allows us to be able to really embrace the chaos that is life that we live in, because Christ is victorious over it. And that is just so powerful. What I love about about the octave of Easter is it's 8 days where we're supposed to feast, right? We fasted for 40 and now we feast for these 8 days of the octave of Easter. And then we continue to celebrate that the rest of the season. So yeah, please, if you gave up chocolate, have some chocolate. Just don't eat a pound of chocolate.
Okay.
Personal experience, just saying.
I think we're clear. We're not anti-chocolate, but moderation.
Yeah.
But no, I think, yeah, just going over that whole concept of the intentionality, that's what makes the space. And then we can receive that joy that the Lord wants to give us, experiencing more of the reality of our baptism and our identity and the joy and peace He wants to give us. I think I want to touch on maybe your Lent was not good, right? Some people might be I really dropped the ball. this, you know, X, Y, and Z happened during Lent. I was not in a place to really do much. I didn't give up much. I didn't give the Lord, you know, what I wanted to. How can we still go into Easter, you know, intentionally and not feel bad about ourselves or beat ourselves up about our less than ideal Lent? Mm. And we might have had good intentions too. Everybody has like a good, you know, first couple days of Lent. I feel like, you know, you're like going in strong, and then week two, week three, week four come, and it's like, ooh.
So it's a great question. And I think even from personal experience, it's approaching then Easter. It's like, okay, Lord, like I didn't create the space that I wanted, but that doesn't limit you, right? Like, he's not limited by whether or not my Lent was a good Lent or not a good Lent, in my opinion. But I asked the Lord, it's like, okay, like, Lord, like, how do you want me to approach the season of Easter? And that's part of what's so beautiful. It's like, how do you want me to live in this season? And oftentimes there's just gentle prompts, or there's just a gentle sense of like, this spiritual practice that I asked you to do during Lent would be really, really good to do during Easter, because it'll draw you closer to me and allow me to do even more in your life. And so I would just ask the Lord, just like we do when we prepare for Lent, is like, okay, Lord, like, how are you inviting me to live in this season of Easter? And one of the things that I found to be super helpful is gratitude, right? So really taking time each day during the season of Easter to make a list of things you're grateful for, right? Grateful for work, for family, for friends, and different things each day, because what that does is it helps us to recognize all that God is doing in our lives. And by that very act, it creates space for us to encounter the divine. And so, you know, one of those things, if we maybe didn't have a great Lent, like, we can approach Easter though with this posture of being grateful, and then asking to help be aware of what we're grateful for to kind of carry us through is one really powerful way to experience the season of Easter. Another powerful way to experience the season of Easter, right, is just living out in acts of service, right? So maybe during Lent, we didn't really do much with those acts of service or caring for the poor or the needy. But during the season of Easter, maybe make that initiative to go and to visit a nursing home, or to go and to visit places where people may have just been overlooked, and to spend time with them, to take time just to visit people and to say, hey, I just wanted to stop in and just to see how you're doing. They're like, well, I have no idea who you are. That's personal experience. But nonetheless, nonetheless, it's like, you know, so I'm just volunteering and just having the opportunity, like, just to volunteer, to spend time, and really to waste time with people, because that's what people deserve, people need. Like, they just need to know that they have value and that their lives mean something. And so, but maybe by taking time to visit them or volunteering in these different ways, right? Not necessarily visiting a nursing home, but like volunteering in these different ways creates an opportunity for us to share the joy of Easter. And in many ways, it does tremendous things to open our heart in that way.
I think that's a good point with just our relationships in general. You know, you might go visit a nursing home, but also maybe look to different family members that you haven't really talked to, or friends that, you know, it's been a while, or maybe you should put some value into that and giving people your time. I think it's just important to remember. I think it's important to remember sometimes that we don't earn like the joy of Easter by what we do during Lent. And I know I kind of touched on that already, but I just feel like that's so important, that if we didn't have a good Lent, it doesn't mean we don't deserve to receive the graces of Easter, right? Like, God, the eternal God, like, is not affected by our penances. Like, if we did them well or didn't, like, that's for us to help form and shape our hearts more, to conform our will to the Lord's will, and to help us grow in love and charity of our neighbor, and to help us grow closer to the Lord. And there are many different effects of that, but the Lord's not like upset with us and wants to punish us because we didn't have a good Lent, right? So I think it's sometimes we can be hard on ourselves and be like, ugh, like, I didn't have a good Lent. So like, what am I just supposed to like forget it all and just have a great Easter? But I think it's just important to remember that it's not about us doing something, but it's about going to the Lord and just being close to him and seeing what he wants to give us. You know, like, maybe we do go to the Lord in prayer and we ask him, you know, what do you want of me, you know, for Easter? What do you want me to do? And how do you want me to grow closer to you? But I also think that the Lord just wants to give too, you know, like, we give him our hearts and we need to be authentic in that and genuine in that. But I think that he also wants to give us like a gift during Easter, to give us like a greater experience of his love. And I think we can just ask for that and have faith and be bold with the Lord sometimes. And You can just be honest and be like, yeah, I didn't do what I wanted to do this Lent, or I didn't pray as much, or I said I was going to give up being on my phone, but I was on my phone all of Lent, you know, and just be honest with the Lord and then just give ourselves to Him. And we have to approach Him in that poverty and humility. And I think we'll be surprised sometimes at how overcomplicated our minds can be sometimes with the process. We think it's going to be so difficult and I have to deserve the Lord's grace and love. And He doesn't work like that.
It's all His gift, right? All His gift.
I think it's really important with Easter. It's just like, how does it change us? You know, if you have somebody who is not Catholic, is not a Christian, how would they look at us during Easter and be like, oh, like they live differently, or they're changed by this. This affects them, you know, because I feel like sometimes we all agree with this stuff, or we go to Mass, but then we're not really changed, you know. Afterwards, we're at a family party and we're all arguing with each other. We're upset about things. We're gossiping with our friends, and we just kind of go back into our ordinary life. But if like Jesus really did rise from the dead, how should that change us? I think what you're saying is like that practice of gratitude, practice of joy, like those are our fruits, you know, like of really being, believing.
And being changed.
And being changed. Can you think of any others?
Well, the patience, peace, ooh, gentleness, kindness.
Growing in the virtues.
Yeah, growing in the virtues, right?
I like that.
I think the other part too, just to follow up on that, right, yeah, is like if I'm changed, while I may not feel joy yet, I can choose to live in a posture that allows me to receive it at some point, right? It's like I can choose to be joyful even if I'm not necessarily feeling joyful. I can choose to be grateful whether or not I'm feeling grateful. I can choose to be patient whether or not, like, internally I would normally be patient. I can choose to take a step back and say, I'm going – and the reason I can do that is because I'm asking the Lord to do that with me. I'm saying, Lord, like, help me to be patient. And then I trust that He's going to do that. So I'm choosing now in trust that He's going to fulfill and give me the grace to be patient. Lord, help me to be joyful. And I'm going to choose to be joyful because I know He's going to give me the grace to experience mm-hmm. joy. And it'll happen slowly, but over time, like I was just on pilgrimage with a bunch of high school seniors. And one of the guys said that to me. He goes, Father, like, I just want to know joy. And that's why I feel like the Lord's inviting me to. And I said, well, if He's inviting you to that joy, then trust that He's going to give you the grace to be joyful and to say yes to that grace and to live into joy. And I guarantee you that you'll experience joy. Well, at the end of the pilgrimage, he sent a text through one of the chaperones, and the chaperone said, Father, I cried my tears of joy. And just like that reality, it's like he was so filled with joy that he couldn't help but cry because of like what God has done. And so I just want to encourage you, like this season of Easter, to live truly as disciples, to live truly as sons and daughters of God, and in gratitude for our Father who is so kind and so gentle and so tender, and to live in the gift of peace and the gift of joy and the gift of hope and the gift of gentleness and patience and kindness, and to allow this gift of His resurrection and victory over sin and death to change us, to change you and to change me, so that together we can be with each other in heaven. And that's really what this season of Easter is. It's that foretaste of that gift of heaven.
Sometimes I think we misunderstand joy too, you know, where it's like there's a lot of suffering and a lot of hardship, and we might have like huge problems with family members, and there's illness, and we don't like our job, or we have a bad financial situation, and there's all this hardship around us where like we're not like super peppy and just like everything is awesome, you know, like that Lego guy. And like, we don't need to fake it. You know, we don't ask Jesus for the grace to be joyful and grateful and then just like act superficially. Like everything is so good. Like we're honest with the Lord and we suffer well with Him. But there's a joy that brings about a great peace. And I think like true joy, you might not be experiencing a total like revolutionary happiness, but joy brings about like security and like peace in your identity. Like you know and trust God in the situation, and like you can be secure in your identity and you experience joy and just like the reality of what life is. Like, yeah, there's so much here and there's so much that I can't control and I can't make this better and people are suffering and the world is crazy and there's all this stuff, but we ask Jesus for the grace to receive We ask Jesus for the grace to grow in that joy, not so that all the problems go away and that we're not bothered by them, but that there's a peace in our hearts and there's a love that radiates from our hearts and that we can grow in that and be secure. I think that's just important to mention about joy.
Yeah, that changes us, not necessarily the circumstances in which we find ourselves.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we're okay with the bad things or they aren't bad, mm-hmm. but that Jesus is in control and he takes care of us and we're at peace with him doing what he needs to do, which means we have to pray.
So we just ask for this gift of joy to fill your heart, your home, your family. And so we say, Almighty God, we ask upon all of those who listen that their hearts, their homes, their lives would be filled with joy and peace, that they would be filled with this gift of tranquility, knowing that your Son is victorious over sin and death, that he reigns supreme, and that he is present in each and every moment of our lives. Grant us the graces that each of us needs most this day. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We invite you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. You can also follow our Facebook page, Rooted in the Really Real Podcast, and Ashley Poltorek on Instagram for episode information and more. God bless.